Good morning. Welcome to Epworth. This is a little bit different this morning. Thank you for joining us online for worship. I'm Pastor Beth, and we are continuing with our sermon series, Love Breaks Through. Today's sermon topic is Love Breaks Through to Change Your Path. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord, we are in the midst of a time that challenges our faith, our wisdom, and even our common sense. We have been tossed out of our norm by something we cannot see and that we cannot control. We're worried and stressed out and fearful. Help us to see that this interruption can be positive. Open our eyes and hearts to see possibilities for kindness and outreach, even as we listen to the mandate for social distance. Help us remember that you are faithful, our ever-present help in times of trouble, and that we need to take extra time to hear your voice amidst the confusion. May faith and wisdom continue to walk hand in hand. May you use this time to awaken your sleeping disciples, the ones who feel they can do nothing and have nothing to offer, and show them the gifts that you have given. Protect the vulnerable, including our senior adults and our first responders and medical professionals. Give us the courage and wisdom to share what we have instead of keeping it all for ourselves. We lift our voices to you now in the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush has not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As you all know, things are changing day to day as concerns grow around coronavirus. We need to be willing to love our neighbors by being cautious with our interactions and keeping physical distance. But this does not mean that we have to live in fear. We're living in a changeable world, but our God is an unstoppable God. God is constant, and God always has a plan. For the past 4 weeks, Pastors Jennifer and Dave and I have been sharing our stories about God's work in our lives, how we have come to know God in our series, Love Breaks Through. Love breaks through the mundane and the noise, the anger and the grief, the despair and the frustration to build something beautiful and to show us how God is bigger than anything that life can throw at us. It is our hope that through this series, you will be encouraged to share your stories and to lift others up and lead them through difficult times that they might be experiencing. If you've already been through a particular valley, then you know the way out and you can guide somebody else. This week's message, as I mentioned, is Love Breaks Through to Change Your Path. And it's curious how God changed my path nearly 10 years ago, and that change in direction intersects solidly with current events. Let us pray. Lord, send your Holy Spirit now. Here I am. Here's my story. Use it as you will, for you are the author of all of our days. Amen. At the beginning of March, I told the story about how I left the church in Love Breaks Through to Reclaim the Runaway. I spoke of how I left the church at age 24. I was angry with God over the unexpected deaths of my father and my uncle. I didn't want anything to do with God, with who I saw as a God that inflicted hurt. And time passed, and I had two children of my own. And their father and I agreed that they should be raised in the church so that they could make decisions for themselves. I had not expected to be healed in the process, and I certainly hadn't expected what happened after that. I joined Epworth in 2008 and began getting my feet wet in service in the church and in the community. This was all very new to me. I never had an opportunity to serve in the church that I grew up in. I was too young when I left, and also there weren't many roles for women in the church. But I began participating in the healing service here. It was on the second Tuesday of the month at the time. Now it's on the third Tuesday. And I read scripture and eventually began writing the prayers for that service. I also learned to be a biblical storyteller. We call it scripture by heart, where you learn the scripture and simply tell the story. You capture the spirit of the story, even if you don't get the words 100%. It was a blessing to do that because it made me really stop and think about the scripture, the word choices and the patterns, what it meant to me personally, where I saw myself in the scripture. Doing all of this, I got to draw on some skills that I had, but I really didn't know my gifts. All I knew was that I felt useful doing what I was doing. And then in 2011, I was approached about attending a walk to Emmaus. Now, if you don't know about Emmaus weekends, it's an extended retreat time where you get to know Christ better and think about your relationship with him. There are separate retreats for men and for women, and the teen equivalent is called Chrysalis. Since my background was a bit uneven in my faith, I was open to learning more and taking part in Emmaus. I went in with an open mind and an open heart. In July of 2011, I did my walk to Emmaus right here at Epworth. Everyone walks away with different feelings about their Emmaus walk. For some people, it plants a seed that takes time to grow. It gives food for thought. And for some people, it is a life changer. For me, it was definitely a life changer. Sometimes the best way to hear God is to step out of your comfort zone, step outside of your normal life, and be vigilant for direction from God. Be open to something new. On my Emmaus walk, we laughed a lot, and we cried a lot, and we ate a lot of chocolate. I heard the words prevenient grace for the first time. That grace that Christ offers before we even know it exists. The grace that we don't have to earn, that can't be earned because it was given. My relationship with Christ changed. Jesus was no longer a name in a book. He became my Redeemer and also my brother. And my brother laid down his life for me. And that made me want to be a different person. God cleared away a lot of dead wood, a lot of old grief. I felt like thorny, overgrown vines had been ripped away. And looking back, I think God was preparing a space for something to grow. Fast forward to 2013, and I have the opportunity to serve on an Emmaus walk on the team for Walk 76. I have the chance to help facilitate the Emmaus experience for another group of women. The lay director called me and asked me to prayerfully consider serving on the team, and I wanted to immediately say yes. But I needed to sit with the idea for a while, and then I looked at my calendar and I realized that the weekend of the walk, I was already overbooked. I planned to call the lay director the next day and say, sorry, I can't this time. Maybe next time. But leave it to God to make a way out of no way. By the evening of the next day, all of the events that I had planned for that weekend were canceled or rescheduled. I had canceled one of them. The rest were canceled and rescheduled by other people. It just happened. So I called and accepted my role on the walk. We began a series of gatherings over the next month to go over what we needed to do to get ready for the walk. And in that time, something happened. I began feeling unsettled, like there was something more that I was supposed to be doing, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I described it to people later on as a hurricane in my chest. Sometimes it was a level one, and sometimes, you know, it was a hurricane category five, but it was always there. And we were talking about prevenient and justifying and sanctifying grace, accepting the grace that is given and coming again into right relationship with God and doing all you can to move that grace forward in the world. And as we talked about all that, I wanted to cry. It weighed on me in a good way, but it weighed on me. And it tugged at me, and it disrupted me. And at one point, the lay leader, Joe Bruner, asked for us to describe our walk with Christ or our relationship with Christ in one word or phrase and just write it down and give it to her. And I spent a couple of days thinking about it and praying about it, and I kept trying to come up with all of these lofty biblical ideas, something really graceful or elegant, and I kept coming back to the same word, stubborn. I am the stubborn prodigal child. My way is better than your way. I can handle it myself, and I don't come when I'm called. And so I wrote it down and I gave it to Joe, and I didn't think anything more about it. And the day the Emmaus walk began, the team gathered for communion and prayer in the chapel at Wesley United Methodist Church in Bryan. And Joe read us a letter that was written by God. It was written to his beloved daughters. It reassured us that God was with us and we could lean on God when things got difficult. And it spelled out our gifts, including, one of you is stubborn, but her uncompromising and headstrong nature is how she stands and lives for me in a fallen world. And I gasped, and my eyes welled up, and something inside me said, yes, this is who I want to be. I want to be stubborn. The weekend progressed, and it was full of challenges, but it was full of beauty and miracles too. And it was worth every minute, sometimes sleepless minutes, but it was worth every minute. But on Saturday, that hurricane was back at a category five, and I was trying so hard to focus on what was going on and my role there at that Emmaus walk. And when we finally had some alone time for prayer in the sanctuary, I remember putting my forehead down on the pew in front of me, and I ugly cried for 20 minutes. I sobbed. It was just me and God in there, so I didn't care, but I just cried and I prayed. God, I don't get this. What is wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? What do you want me to do? And almost instantly, what I consider the answer came to me. Take off your sandals, Moses. You're on sacred ground. And the clarity of that answer was a bit shocking. And I did the weirdest thing that I've ever done in church. I took off my sandals, my flip-flops, and I walked up the main aisle to the altar. I remember expecting the floor to be cold, and it wasn't. And I stood there looking up at this huge cross over the altar and just sobbing and continuing to pray. I don't get it, God. What do you want from me? I need you to be clear. And I glanced down at the Bible that was open on the altar in front of me. And I remember it was open to Jeremiah. And the chapter title that was there jumped out at me. Israel's stubborn idolatry. Stubborn. Seriously, God? Stubborn? And all of a sudden, I started to laugh. And I knew in my heart that I was meant to see that. I knew in my heart that God was up to something. And the answer then came out of my own mouth, and it was words that I had never said before, and I don't think I even consciously thought them, but they came out of my own mouth, and it was something that I never wanted to do. Are you serious, God? You want me to lead a church? I never said those words out loud before. And the minute I did, I wanted to stuff them back in and pretend that I hadn't said them. I was a prodigal child with a capital P. What could God possibly want with me? And then I remembered what someone had shared as part of the Emmaus walk about the priesthood of all believers. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Thomas doubted, Rahab was a prostitute, Peter denied, and a long list of other people that seemed to be unworthy. And then being reminded at the end of all that, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And then I said, fine, you win, but don't make me do this alone. Moses was drawn away from his routine keeping of the flock, and I was drawn off the beaten path, off of my normal routine, into this walk, and now entering into this potentially new way of life. And I was a little afraid. So I thought, what am I going to have to give up? Who am I going to have to give up? You read in the Bible about people that walk away from their families to follow Christ, and it was overwhelming. I didn't want to walk away from my family. What was I going to have to give up to do this? But again, I remembered, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Moses thought, I'm not the right person to do this. Ask my brother Aaron. He's better at talking than I am. He'll be better at this than I could be. And yet God kept persisting, kept showing him what was possible with faith and with God on his side. When I told this whole story to a friend of mine, Pam, she's a person of deep faith and she knows her Bible inside and out. She's got a strong relationship with God. And I told her how I was feeling and she just grinned at me and she said, you're having a Moses moment. And I said, what? And she said, it's a Moses moment. It's where you're called, but you have doubts. And you try to avoid the call. You think someone else can do it better. But here's the thing. If God wanted someone else, he'd have called him. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You might be thinking that God's whispering in your ear. You may feel that you're supposed to be doing something else. And at the same time, you're resisting. No way, not me. Get someone else to do it. But God is going to bug you. And he's going to follow you around. And he's going to create hurricanes in your chest until you finally say yes. So I relate to Moses. To this day, I ask God, what were you thinking when you called me to ministry? I have this conversation with him all the time. I went to school to be a DJ and work at radio stations. And now you have me leading a church. And I never wanted to be a leader. I've never seen myself that way. And sometimes when being a pastor is really hard, I still feel like I am uniquely unqualified for the job. But I had asked him to not make me do this alone. And I haven't been alone. God has been on my side and has given me armor. And in my ministry, I've had Aarons and Miriams and Joshuas and Jethros walking right along with me. Because they love God too. And they are also called. And we help each other. Earlier I said that the change of path from 10 years ago intersects with today. And I just realized this in the last couple of days with everything that's been going on in the world. And it led me to make a little modification to the message today. I wondered why God would call me to ministry, to this ministry at this time. I ask it all the time. Why here? Why now? I come from a background where women didn't have huge roles in the church. I was not Methodist. My mother has always been Methodist. And I have a bachelor's degree in communication with an emphasis in broadcasting. I don't have a Master of Divinity. But God equips the called. Every day brings opportunities to be equipped through interactions with others, with incidents that are trials by fire, getting chucked into the deep end and having to figure out how to make it work. You become equipped with prayer and with scripture. I never planned to be a pastor. I didn't think I was equipped, but I know how to listen. God gave me mercy and faith and compassion, forgiveness, maybe a little bit of wisdom. I may not have that Master of Divinity yet. That starts in the fall. But I am equipped to love and to pray and to serve, as are we all. Our Lenten study here at Epworth was Adam Hamilton's study, The Walk. And it dives into spiritual disciplines, those things that we can do anytime, not just at Lent, to grow our relationship with Christ. We can pray and worship, read scripture, serve our neighbors, give witness to others. This week, we were focused on serve. And in the study, Reverend Hamilton said, part of being willing to serve requires being open to divine interruption. Like the Samaritan whose travel plans were interrupted when he encountered the beaten man on the side of the road. Be aware of interruptions. We are living in the middle of a big interruption. Fears and restrictions around the coronavirus are causing interruptions in our daily lives, in our best laid plans, and our future plans are even in doubt. These are strange times, difficult times, scary times. There have been fatalities and new reports of illnesses come up all the time. And yes, things could get worse before they get better, and the interruptions may continue. But these interruptions are also an opportunity to find a new path. Amazing changes can happen when you're kicked out of your comfort zone and sent in a new direction. Cancellations and closures may be inconvenient and disappointing, but they're also an opportunity for new things. Getting reacquainted with all those things that you used to do, but maybe you've let slide. Commit to catching up with people by phone or by email who you haven't heard from in a while. Commit to catching up with God. Prayer and scripture reading don't have to be solo events. Involve the family. Spend time in prayer and ask God what you can do in this time of crisis. Be prepared for the answer, because it might surprise you. And it could lead to a new path. And above all, keep telling your story. If you've never shared your story about what God has done in your life, find someone to share it with. Heck, call me and share it with me. But share it. You are equipped to change a life. Amen.